This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 6/17/22, show number 4. That's right, 400. Hard to believe, Nick. We've been going at this for years now, and everything we've talked about basically is coming to pass. Well, today is the dreaded quad witch.
Yeah, today is options expiration for the month of June. It's a quarterly expiration. You have four different asset classes expiring under the sun today, so it makes for a wild action. One thing I'd like to say is when we get to around the 3 o'clock hour today, anybody that's sticking around trading at 3 o'clock, be a little bit careful. Markets will be all over the place, especially in the individual names. You may even see it in some commodity types, which are getting hit today. But we could have some wild whipsaw in the final hour of the day. This is typical during an options expiration and especially during a quad witch.
Right. That's as you always like to say, this is the real shark week.
That's right. This is the real shark week. Expect the unexpected, especially as we go into the closing bell. I want to talk real quickly, Kerry, about these energy markets. This is a typical options X move. So energy has been the hottest industry group, going higher and higher as the market has gone lower and lower. And notice today, the energy stocks are just getting absolutely slammed. And this is typical during options X. You get the stocks that are in the stratosphere coming down during an options expiration period. And the stocks that are, you know, the weakest usually will get some bids. And you see a lot of retailers today getting some pops. But that's what happens. A lot of institutional game playing. But today we see, you know, the energy stocks that have been the strongest industry group really taking it on the chin today.
Hey, gold, silver, both down, huh?
Yeah, gold is getting hit today. It's not a horror show for gold. When you look at gold futures, you know, not down that much, down 0.5% or so. But gold is a little bit weaker. You have energy. Oil is getting hit today. Biggest drop we've seen in oil in quite a while, over 5%. Nat gas is down 4% today. So we're seeing, you know, pretty good weakness in a lot of the commodity names, a lot of the base metal types, Freeport, McMoRan, BHP, Rio Tinto, all selling off today. This is just typical options X action. And, you know, we'll see if a little bit more selling comes in because these groups have been pretty strong. But, you know, I can't really overstate it. This is what you got to expect during options expiration, especially a quad witch.
Hey, so one that we don't see necessarily slammed so much during options X is Bitcoin. That's down.
Yeah, Bitcoin's a little bit lower today. It's not getting, you know, absolutely crushed today, but this thing has been annihilated. So again, anybody that is looking at Bitcoin right now, the takeaway you want to look at right now is that the trend is down and this looks broken. It doesn't really look very strong. I'm not saying it can't get a bid here from a psychological 20,000 level. Right now, Bitcoin is right around 20,650. But you could get some upticking. But overall, before this thing could bottom, I think it needs to satisfy the 14,000 level. And I've been, you know, saying that for over a week now on the program.
And let's not forget, we're only about $1,000 above the December 2017 peak. If it breaks that, what happens? It goes up a little after that, rebounds, and then goes further low, right?
Yeah, 14,000 is my key number. We'll probably pierce it because every number I give out seems to pierce by 1,000 or 2,000 points on Bitcoin. But I'd say 12 to 14 is where this is ultimately going. Right now, as you mentioned, you're satisfying the support level that was done in December of 2017, right around 20,000. But once that cracks, and I believe it will, you'll go down to around that 14,000 level, probably overshoots a little bit. But that's, you know, that's your level. If you want to play this for a bounce, that's going to be your spot.
Hey, what about Dogecoin here, man? Dogecoin's like, you look at that chart, it's even worse than Bitcoin, right?
Well, to be honest, all I ever follow is Bitcoin. I haven't looked at Dogecoin in a while. What is Dogecoin at anyway?
Well, I'll tell you. Now that you asked, it hit a peak of 64 cents on May 7th, 2021, right around Musk's announcement. It is now down to 5.7 cents.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about these things? I mean, honestly, you know, it's an asset class. I'll give it that. But I mean, I don't know what really drives it, you know, makes people so in love with it. I just can't figure it out for the life of me. But again, you know, that's a perfect example of why you want to avoid, you know, things that are you know, trading at 60 cents.
Yeah, well, there's a new one coming out called the Mushroom Coin. And the key with that is you keep it in the dark and you feed it plenty of manure.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I know there's hundreds of these things out there. It's rather remarkable. Thousands. Yeah. It's just absolutely insane. You know, you got to remember the government really had a problem with Chuck E. Cheese printing money for the video game machines, their own coinage. And here we are thinking that, you know, crypto is going to save the world. It's rather fascinating and falls in the line of NFTs and invisible art.
And hey, we should mention this because it's really a great story. Musk just about 21 hours ago was basically hit with a $258 billion lawsuit alleging a Dogecoin pyramid scheme.
Wow, that'll wipe out his net worth. So I hope he wins that case.
I don't think that's coming, but it makes for entertaining news, right?
It does. And, you know, but this is a guy that can go on Twitter or any platform, really, and he can move markets. He has that kind of power. So I think he's well aware that, you know, his words carry a lot of weight. He has a lot of followers. A lot of people are all over everything he says. Just look at what he's done with Twitter lately. But, you know, I must say I really enjoy his commentary. I think it's really the best. I love when he gets into these confrontations. He does not back off and he answers very intelligently. So I hope he keeps going.
Hey, well, it makes you think that maybe there's more here than meets the eye. His checkered past with the World Economic Forum and all that. Maybe he's gone rogue.
Perhaps. I mean, anybody can, I guess, can break apart. Usually, you know, Klaus Schwab says he has his minions in place. Obviously, he references Canada quite a bit, but he does. He has minions everywhere. So we'll find out. You know, the jury is still out on where Elon Musk really stands. You know, he is big into the climate, but I'm not such a big proponent that electric cars are so great for the climate right now. I think they still got a long way to go. After all, the energy grid is pretty predominantly fueled by coal. So, you know, I don't know if I buy into that story, but I got to say a Tesla car is a nice car. And, you know, he has certainly put a lot of them on the road and the company is definitely valuable. They're in a lot of different places. And, you know, it seems like everything he touches turns to gold, so to speak.
Yep, this is true. Well, you shouldn't see any surprises here. Right now, solar power will account for nearly half of the new U.S. electric generating capacity in 22, nat gas still at 21, wind 17, batteries, interestingly enough, that's not really a source of energy, but this is the EIA, the you know, the U.S. Energy Information or Disinformation Administration. Yeah. And they're saying 5.1% for batteries and 11% for batteries, 5% for nuclear. You know, but that's just the new generating capacity. You know, I just don't know how they're going to manage the grid with that much renewables.
They really can't manage the grid because if you just look at what happened in Texas last year with the winter freeze, you know, how did those windmills fare?
They froze.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I started to look into the construction of windmills. They're not so environmentally friendly either. You know, I got to say a lot of hypocrisy with this green movement.
Hey, and let's not forget all those poor birds that get killed off, millions and millions of them by the windmills.
So, that's, where's PETA on that? I haven't seen them around talking about that.
Yeah, that's a shock. Well, you know,
this is a world of hypocrisy as we know, but you know, again, it's, you know, the way this has to work, Kerry, if you're going to transition to this Green New Deal type scenario, it cannot happen by force. It has to happen organically when the green products are efficient. I think it's a great start for the electric car, but I remember the original electric car that got killed. Do you remember that story a long time ago?
EV1, GM's EV1.
That's right. What happened to that? Why didn't they let that out at that point in time? Nobody ever knows, right? Big secret. But the reality of it is, you know, when you transition to the automobile from the horse and buggy, it has to be efficient. It has to be reliable and it has to be cost efficient. And we're not there yet. And we're not getting there anytime soon. I think oil, coal, nat gas, battery technology, windmills, if you want, solar panels, if you want, throw it all in there, but use it all and then transition slowly as the technology improves. And that's the way you get to the other side of the river. Not this way of force feeding it down people's throat and having, you know, gasoline prices over $5 a gallon. That's ridiculous. The policy in this country is a sham. And, you know, this administration should honestly be disgraced right now.
And disassembled. But that's a story for another day.
Can't say that. We may get canceled.
Oh, disassembled. Reconfigured, put it that way.
There you go.
And Fed speak, Fed presidents out today extolling the virtues of the Fed, huh?
Yeah, you got a couple of Fed presidents out there. Neil Kashkari, I believe, was out earlier. And, you know, basically, he's not, I don't believe he's a voting member just yet, but he's cautious about too much more front loading on rate hikes. He supported a 50 basis point rate hike in July going forward. And then I believe we had earlier one of the other Fed presidents out as well and, you know, basically saying the same thing. So, you know, I don't know if they're saying this to try to get the market off the ground, but most likely, yeah, it was Esther George, Kansas City Fed president, say that she dissented due to the uncertainty by adding 75 basis points. So you got two of them out today saying it should have been a 50 basis point hike. As I've said on, you know, the program here, the Fed funds rate needs to be where the 2-year Treasury note yield is, and we're not even close. So they got more work to do. What's the difference? You know, if it's 50 basis points or it's 75, the bottom line is they need to get to around 3.25%. And, you know, they're at 1.5 to 1.75. So they still got a long way to go.
All right. Well, I guess we'll leave it at that. Make sure that you go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. See how he's beaten the averages for decades. The Twitter feed's at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Emails are welcome, KL@KerryLutz.com. Nick, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Sounds good, Kerry.